Without the ones like you, who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you, with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply. See ebaymotors.com.
The Believe Podcast Network presents the FCS Football Podcast with Joe DeLeon.
Well, let's get fat.
And Sean Anderson.
I am a soothsayer.
Welcome back, folks, here on the FCS Football Podcast. I am Joe DeLeon, joined by my former roommate, former teammate, Mr. Sean Anderson. We are coming at you with a lot to talk about after the first full week of FCS football action. Before we get to that, though, make sure you hit that subscribe button so you can stay up to date on all of our episodes, as we're going to be doing two a week throughout the entirety of the season. So, Sean, I'm referencing here that we've got a lot to talk about, and this is going to be very heavily focused on these upsets. But how are you doing after this this very exciting Labor Day weekend?
Man, 41 seconds in, and now I finally get to speak. That's almost a new record.
Oh, shut up. Are you saying that was quicker than usual?
I think it actually might have been quicker than usual. Sometimes I've seen it go down to about 2:30, and I'm like, what? How is he still yapping?
When I do the draft prospects show, and I do the read to open, it's usually like 4 to 5 minutes in until I like actually let somebody else talk. So,
hey, I'm here with Ryan and Alex, but you'll hear from them in a minute after the break is basically what you're hitting them with, and they're just sitting there. I know what they're doing. They're just sitting there like, is he done yet? Is he done yet? Is he ready? Yeah. Okay, now he's ready. Oh, wait, no, he's not. He faked us out. I've gotten faked out by you a good amount of times also during our broadcasting partnership.
Yeah, I tend to forget that I'm supposed to say certain things. I also sometimes don't like plan ahead of what I'm going to say, and then I just start talking. That's always good.
I prefer that than the multiple take Joe DeLeon that used to occur. But that was still at an amateur level at that point.
We still do that, though. It's usually because one of us is laughing. But, okay, can we
Labor
talk
Day
about
was,
football?
I worked all Labor Day. I have no thoughts on Labor Day. Everybody else had work off. I'm going to sell out and stop being in radio and just get a federal government job, and then that's what I'm going to do.
Work in a federal building of sorts.
Yeah, maybe Amazon. I don't know where. I'll work, you know.
Amazon.
Somewhere. I got
holidays. The hours are worse if you worked at Amazon. They're just going to stick you in the warehouse and have you move all the big boxes because you're the biggest human being there.
Well, I don't mind that. You see, I'm not afraid of hard work.
Yeah, but the amount of time that you're going to put in is going to be equivalent to the time that you put in now, and you're going to get paid probably just a little bit better, which is depressing. It's not depressing, though, Sean, that we had multiple FCS FBS upsets this weekend.
Oh, we got a lot to talk about. But first, look at me. I'm taking the stick on this one. I'm doing the transition. I'm going to talk about Bet Online. Joe has been killing me with the transitions. What was the one last week? Speaking of?
Yeah.
Speaking of. Oh,
so
my goodness.
Stupid.
Well, everybody, as you know, if you're listening to this show, you're pretty enthralled in football season. But if you're not and you were just looking around thinking, okay, maybe I'll give this football thing a chance. It's that time of year again, and all the eyes are now turning to football as teams are back on the gridiron to start the football season. As always, BetOnline is your number one spot for all the pro, college, and football action this season. Get all the updated odds, props, and contests, including, ready, Joe? Online's biggest $500,000 NFL mega contest and the world's largest $200,000 NFL Survivor contest. It's open now at BetOnline. Head to the website or use your mobile device to sign up today and receive your 100%, not 50, not 60, not 99, 100% welcome bonus. Take advantage of their opening day super promo. Make a bet on the Thursday, September 9th season opener between the Super Bowl champion Buccaneers and the Dallas Cowboys. And if you lose, your wager will be refunded up to $25, not $21. Not 24, but up to $25 for new customers only when signing up and using promo code NFL100. BetOnline, the fastest and easiest way to bet all your favorite sports. BetOnline, your online sports book experts.
Thank you for that, Sean. Thanks for filling in our listeners on where they can do their degenerate actions of betting on some football. I don't think
fun
they have FCS
actions,
lines.
Not fun degenerate actions.
I mean, I think
at least if we're
going to
talk about it being degenerate actions, don't do it, I don't know, 15 seconds after the ad read.
We were just talking to the new Believe interns, and Alex had mentioned that some of the hosts do a poor job of doing the reads because they say that they've never used the product, and they don't they'll say that and then they'll do the read. And I almost threw in there, what about the hosts that bash the producers for not putting the correct read in there? The only one who does that's me. All right, Sean, we gotta get some of these other quick tidbits out of the way before we get into talking about these upsets. So just give me a quick second here. Let me fill up my water cup here at the water cooler, because we got some quick hitters, some headlines that we gotta hit on.
Welcome to the water cooler.
So, John, first, did you hear about what happened this early in the week? This is one of the early games. I think it was on Thursday. Mercer blasted Point University. I don't know what level that is. I don't care. I don't care anything about Point University, nor do I know what they look like. But they destroyed them 69-0. Their kicker, he missed the final extra point of the game. So instead of it being 70-0, we get a final score of 69-0. And the kicker, admittedly, on Twitter was proud of missing that kick.
Normally, well, hold on, let me put on my act. Wow, Joe, I didn't hear about that. Why, I am thirsty too. But that reminds me of a conversation we were having last week also. I believe, well, we were back here, you know, it was Thursday. We had the after meeting with Jerry and doing that, you know. You were talking about Zeb Noland, right, Joe?
Was
that
talking
who you
about
brought
Zeb
up?
Noland.
Oh, yeah. You were. I believe you called him awful, terrible, not good, blue, everything, you know, bad with North Dakota State, not a good quarterback, just complete choke job, all that, right?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
No problem with that?
Well, you know what he did? We don't do FCS news here, really, at the water cooler.
He played FBS Eastern
news.
Illinois. He played Eastern Illinois. Why? Oh.
Threw for 4 touchdowns in the first half as a GA.
Against Eastern Illinois. He also barely completed 50% of his passes against Eastern Illinois. We all know that Eastern Illinois is a bad FCS program.
Joseph.
I want to see what he does against Alabama. Let's see what he does against Alabama.
Hey, Joseph.
What?
We're jinxed is all I'm going to say. This water cooler that we stand at every day is jinxed. Yeah. We just have to accept that.
Okay.
Okay. Oh, look at you getting another little drink, huh?
I like how you threw in Zeb Noland without telling me. Did you happen to hear about Kennesaw State? This one, I'm worried for my our Kennesaw State listeners. Nick Massaroni, who texts us often about the show. Nick Massaroni and also Sean Blythe. Barely
haven't heard from
Reinhardt.
Sean in a year, probably a year.
He follows me on Instagram. It's nice.
First time I heard from Nick in 6 months.
Yeah, I think about the same. About the same for me. But they barely
so he's
beat Reinhardt,
food
which
now? He's catering?
Again, is he really?
I think he's doing catering stuff
can we,
now.
Can we stay on topic? Speaking of catering, Kennesaw State can't cater to beat.
I'd like for him to be playing his trumpet while serving the food.
I'm sure that
or
he
making
does.
The food. It should be a band catering experience. Nick, get at me. I got some ideas.
Can you one-hand a trumpet like that? Regardless, Kennesaw State, the Owls, a team that has had some previous stellar success, really struggles in their season opener with a below FCS team that they played.
Or a fish or chicken or beef.
So you expect them to sing and also play the trumpet and then also serve food. What's the next thing that our listeners need to be aware of? I hate you. I don't know what's worse, the obnoxious piece of production that is going to be playing underneath this or whatever the hell this is you're doing.
I'm just chilling at the water cooler, bro.
We'd get fired if this is the conversation we were having at a water cooler.
Kennesaw still won.
Yeah, they still won, but they only won by 10 against a really bad sub-FCS team.
Well, Joe, I'd like to talk about a loser, but a loser that put up as good a fight as we're going to see. South Dakota. They fought in a close game, Joe. They lost 17-14 to Kansas. Mm. And you know what? I don't know how we feel about Kansas in general.
They suck.
Yeah. Ugh. Good for South Dakota. They kept it close. They almost made it to one of the FCS upsets that we would have had. We would have gotten a little ring the bell for that, but unfortunately not. But it was close. It was a good fight.
Yeah, I watched this game. It was exciting. I also did a radio spot this morning for Sioux Falls in South Dakota, and they were asking me about the game, and it was just a fun game to watch. It came down to like a couple plays that led to the outcome, but Kansas did not deserve that to win that football game, and of course their fans were way too excited after that game. Like, I can't imagine what their Big 12 schedule is going to be like if that's how they play against South Dakota, who is an up and coming team. I will say it that much. We've got a good chunk of teams here that are insanely disappointing. So we're going to be talking about some highs of the FCS, and I think that this next chunk here is the lows, Sean. Wagner, easily one of the biggest losers of the week, got absolutely clapped by Buffalo. 69-7. Like, not even trying to put up a fight. And they got some dudes on that team. You know, this isn't like some incompetent squad, but... they are the complete opposite of these FBS-FCS upsets where they looked horrendously terrible, and I'm not looking forward to watching them play their NEC schedule.
Well, also, West Florida beat McNeese 42-36. Valparaiso lost to Indiana. Connecticut beat Central Connecticut State. You have some words about that, I believe.
Well, so those other two games, you know, they lost. It's embarrassing to see an FCS team lose to a sub FCS team. But the thing that irked me, and I sent you the tweet, so West Florida beats McNeese, which disappointing. Cody Orgeron, the starting quarterback, Isaiah Chambers, you know, they've got some talented guys on the team, so I'm surprised that they lost. But one of the West Florida coaches went out of his way on Twitter to be like, this wasn't an upset. Yes, it was. You're not an FCS team. If you want to compete at the FCS level, you're more than welcome to, but that was an upset. Don't act like it wasn't.
That's right. Reach out to me or Joe. We decide who plays in the FCS.
We'll take your entrance fee and everything.
It's a freaking Vince McMahon statement.
Last thing here. This one was really entertaining to watch. I had to do what I could to keep this game on in the TV in my apartment. I had to keep switching back and forth. But Northern Iowa almost knocked off 7th-ranked Iowa State, a 16-10 game that they played in. That was a really good football game because Iowa State is supposed to be good. They're supposed to be this top-ranked team, and some people said they should have made the playoff last year. And, man, you and I really gave them a fight. They're one of those teams, I think, this week that I'm going to be super excited to see how they do the rest of the season.
Matt Campbell, and that's the Iowa State coach, right? The Cyclones?
Yeah, it's Matt Campbell. Yeah.
Campbell, he was he tipped his cap to Northern Iowa in the postgame. I remember listening to that.
Yeah, and I think it's one of those right. It's one of those games where everyone just assumes FCS team, top ranked opponent, they're going to blow them out. But anyone who knows Northern Iowa and the talent that they have knows it's going to be a dogfight. So, Sean, we've referenced already multiple times the six FBS FCS upsets that we had in Week One. And to recap, if you happen to miss them, we kicked the weekend off with UC Davis 19, Tulsa 17. Eastern Washington then beat UNLV in multiple overtimes. I thought you had an actual bell.
I don't.
35-33. Instead, he's got a big old bottle of liquor. South Dakota State 42, Colorado State 23. Then we also had, this was the big one, Montana 13 over 20th ranked Washington 7. And then these ones are just laughably terrible. Holy Cross 38, UConn 28, and then ETSU beating Vanderbilt. So we could take the time to go through all six of these, but I just want to talk general takeaways. And the first one being like South Dakota State. Man, how great does that look to see them not only beat a team, but demolish them? Like, I can't even think of the last time we saw something like this.
That's a big deal for me, and I will try to get a real bell in the future. But as of right now, that's what I'm working with. Dude, it was it felt like every time I got back on Twitter, an FCS team was either upsetting an FBS team or they were incredibly close to. So FCS Twitter, you guys balled out this week, keeping all the updates rolling, keeping everything going, and really just really impressive to start the year off like this. I know that it's early season stuff, you know, so stuff, you know, games can be a little odd. It can get a little wacky. But it doesn't really, you know, everyone had about a year and a half to practice and prepare. Everybody had camp. So, you know, if the shoe fits, you know, get your ass whipped by the FCS.
Honestly, Sean, I've got a theory here.
Okay.
And I think a lot of people have said that because of the transfer portal, they've just assumed that the FCS was going to suffer. Because if anybody does well enough, they're going to transfer up and they're going to go play at these bigger schools. But I think the counter argument for that is that for every one guy who does that, there's going to be a talented player at a Power 5 or a Group of 5 program that gets stuck in the depth chart, tries to transfer, and because there's too many people in the transfer portal at their specific position, they have to take an FCS offer because they expected to get another good offer to play back in the SEC or the Pac-12 or stay at Ohio State, and they end up at the JMUs and the South Dakota States and the North Dakota States, like stuff like that. I think that we're going to start to see a lot more of that, and this was pretty evident that the good programs that know how to recruit the transfer portal are going to come out smacking these teams that are going to be basically undervaluing their upcoming opponent.
I mean, this is not, these are legit teams. I think any win is a legit win, but, you know, it's not like they're just beating up on the MAC. I mean, UConn is UConn, but you know what I'm saying, Joe?
UConn's not a football team.
The Washington, big deal. UC Davis beating Tulsa, big deal. Eastern Washington win. Huge deal. All of it. ETSU beating Vandy, big deal. It's all just a perfect way to usher in the 2021 fall football season for the FCS. It's just, hey, you guys been waiting for it. They're opt-outs, this and that. Let's just bring you in nice. Let's just show, put everybody on display saying, hey, you know, it's not like other ranked FBS teams in the top 25 weren't losing also. But this was, you know, let's take it up a little notch. Let's go, hey, you guys paid us to play here 6 times. I'd say right now, off the top of my head, that's probably $2 million worth of revenue generated in wins for the FCS alone. Maybe 3. But it's sitting around there, and you're like, wow, these guys just got paid to start their season off in the best possible way. And it's fantastic. There's no other word to describe it. It's a great feeling. It's a great, great feeling.
And this upcoming week, we actually have even more FBS-FCS matchups than we did this previous week. And it kind of made our preview episode a little bit lighter in terms of games that we're talking about, just because there's really not as many big FCS-FCS matchups because of the amount of FBS-FCS matchups. So maybe we get more than 6 this upcoming week. And maybe that's a strong possibility for the FCS. But Sean, I want to ask you this. So the two wins that stand out the most to me, because UNLV, mediocre football program. Eastern Washington beating them is fantastic. UC Davis beating Tulsa. Tulsa lost a lot of players. They lost their defensive coordinator. They lost both of their starting corners to Missouri. And Zaven Collins is now an NFL player. He was a first-round pick. They're not that good. UC Davis, props to them for winning. Vanderbilt, we know, just a bad football program. Props to ETSU for not allowing them to just get beat up on. And UConn's a separate conversation. But the two for me that I think are the most telling on the most dominant teams in college football for FCS is the South Dakota State blowout of Colorado State and the win over a ranked Washington team for Montana. So if you had to gauge, which of these wins do you think is more impressive?
It would be the Montana win, not just because Washington was ranked. It's because you could tell Montana wanted it more. Montana wanted to be out there. They were not taking Washington lightly. Washington obviously took Montana lightly. And then they started getting punched in the mouth. And then they realized, oh my God, we got to kick it into gear. But it was too late. They kicked it in gear. And they really started trying to play hard. But it's too. You can't get off the mat when Montana is just standing over you. Because they're foaming at the mouth the entire game saying, yeah, we came in here hungry. You guys thought it was going to be a cakewalk. And now it's up. And now you lost. And now you're out of the top 25. And you probably won't be back in for the rest of the year. Maybe not even for 2 years. That's exactly how I saw it coming. Because Montana wanted it more. They just straight up wanted to win that game more. They wanted to be there more. You could tell. You can tell who wants to be on the field. You could tell what teams want to win. Obviously, everybody wants to win. Everyone wants to do this and that. But when you really have that desire, that's what's really evident on the film.
Yeah, I'm with you on that one. I think that that is so impressive to travel to an away game, a 20th-ranked team, and completely shock them. But the one thing I think we figured out from this, just from the general college football landscape, I think it pretty much exposed that Washington was not as good as I think people were expecting them to be this year. The Pac-12 is weak in general, but this is, you know, not, I think it's more telling of how bad Washington is, but also very, very huge that Montana, like you're saying, wanted it more. But if I had to pick which one's more impressive, I still lean slightly. It's not like a heavy lean. I still lean in favor of South Dakota State because it takes a lot to blow out an opponent by 20 points. Like, that means you are completely dominating them. And then to, on top of that, hang 40 on an opponent. That means you completely bullied them. And from the parts of the game that I watched of this, I was flipping between games on Friday. I was watching the South Dakota game and this game. I saw them have a true command on defense and then a true command running the ball with Isaiah Davis and Pierre Strong Jr. So for me, like, the way that they came out against an FBS team that is supposed to be a good Mountain West program to play the way that they did, I think proves to me that South Dakota State deserves to be the number one team in the country.
It'll be interesting to see how it all shakes up, but all these teams are definitely going to receive votes at the very least. I mean, maybe not Holy Cross, but there's going to be some votes, and I'd say a lot of them are going to be ranked because that's just that's something that FCS voters don't take lightly.
I think the poll is already out.
Is it really?
I still don't know why we haven't had an invite to vote on that, but that's a separate issue. Who do we have to talk to?
Craig, maybe?
Ask him.
Okay.
You communicate more with Craig Haley than I do. Or is it? Do we think it's the FCS Fan Nation, guys?
Craig could get us where we need to be.
Okay. If anyone has an in on getting us on voting on the top 25 poll, get me one. Sean doesn't need one.
I don't need a top 25 poll. I'd like a top 25 FCS poll.
Screw you.
It's like you're spitting watermelon seed.
Pretty much. Folks, if you didn't happen to know, we're partnering with Play Action Pools, which is a fantastic event that we're going to be doing every single week. You'll be able to get in on the action with our PlayActionPools.com Football Pick'em Challenge, which is open to everyone. Here's how it works. Sign up for our contest, Believe Football Pick'em, at PlayActionPools.com, and then get your picks in each week. We're going to select the 10 highest profile games of the week between the NFL and college football. Whoever gets the most picks correct each week will win a pair of electric sunglasses and a pair of DC shoes. Again, go to PlayActionPools.com and sign up for the contest, Believe, B-L-E-A-V, Football Pick'em. And if you plan on hosting your own football contests, go to PlayActionPools.com today. We've got a Survivor Pick'em, as well as a cool sportsbook-style concept called Build Your Bankroll. PlayActionPools.com, your new home for all of your office sports pools. So, Sean, our favorite segment, as we know on this show, is Fat Stats. And I don't think we're ever going to get a better stat line than we have for the offensive and defensive guy. It works perfectly. We've got one on each side. There were some really big stat lines this weekend, and they don't even come close to the two that we're about to bring up. So which one do you want to go? You pick the first one.
I mean, these are both, they're Madden stat lines.
I've never even done either in Madden.
They're not going to, well, you're not good at Madden. They're not going to, these are the best fat stats we're going to have all year. I'm letting everybody know now, the segment probably will not be topped by this. It just won't, because how could it? I'll start with this. Fordham linebacker, Ryan Greenhagen.
Fordham.
Somebody who, one more time?
Fordham.
What did I say? Fordham?
Fordham or whatever. Good, just keep going. You corrected yourself. Just keep going. Oh, I can't correct you, but you can correct me.
Fordham linebacker, Ryan Greenhagen, who we have talked about in our linebacker and defense preview shows for the season, is a possible standout candidate at the linebacker position. Fordham played Nebraska this past week. You think normally good linebackers average what, Joe? 15 tackles a game?
Yeah, if you have a big game, 15 tackles.
Well, let's double that. 31 total tackles versus Nebraska. A scoring error marked them for 30. They're getting that resolved. 31 total tackles. I believe he had 13 solos. And he was, you just cannot make this up that someone had 31 total tackles in a game. That is Wilt Chamberlain, 100. That is Dennis Rodman, 40 rebounds in a game. That's what we're sitting at right here in stat lines. That's the kid playing D3 that had 129 points, shooting threes all night in Connecticut. Ryan Greenhagen, the fattest defensive stat we've ever had. We've mingled with 20-plus tackle games, haven't we?
Yeah.
We've had 5 sack games.
Yeah,
be fat stats. Certainly. 31 total tackles. There are players who will play an entire season and not get 31 tackles.
It's just, it's
31.
Stupid. It's stupid. I'm trying to find the most in a game.
I believe he might have set the record.
He tied it. Oh, no. Wait. If you count the 31, the FBS record is Rick Rosano, Virginia Tech versus University of Kentucky. The FCS record is 30, Chattanooga versus Citadel in 2001, Josh Kane. So that is a record from based on Wikipedia. Now, I know some crazy fan's going to come flying in here with some stat that it's not available on the internet somewhere, but and somehow correct this. But I don't think people realize what you need to do in a football game to get 30 tackles. That you have to be all over the field. I can't even imagine what his body feels like this morning. That has to be the amount of hits and the amount of contact that he took in that game to register 30 tackles. You have to be all over the place.
If you're not, if you haven't played college football or sat in a film session, or you don't have, pardon me, all 22 tape, ugh. then you might not be able to guess how many offensive plays are played each game. Well, it normally ranges between 60 and 80, depending on how long the game goes, how long drives go. That's like half of the offensive Nebraska's plays are going in Greenhagen's on the ball.
Yeah.
And they lost. They lost 52-7, sure. But that's the fattest defensive stat we've ever had on the show.
I don't think we'll ever.
What do we do?
See something else again.
What do we do from here?
We get Ryan Greenhagen to do 32 next week.
That's our only hope.
Now, this is another one that I don't think we're ever going to come close to this season. Presbyterian's quarterback, Ren Heffley, has easily the stupidest stat line that they played against some slappy small school team. And seems like Presbyterian has a lot of those on the schedule this year.
They played St. Andrews.
St. Andrews. They've got another one of those schools coming up this upcoming weekend. So Heffley goes 38 for 50. That's a lot of passes. That alone's a fat stat. 538 yards. Also a fat stat. Now here comes the fun part. 10 touchdowns. They scored 84 points in this game. That one requires just either perfection on offense or just sheer stupidity by the opposing defense.
Dude, their backup quarterback had two touchdowns passing.
I didn't know that.
There were 12 total passing touchdowns for Presbyterian in this game.
I have a better question. Why were they still throwing it?
I don't know.
That's so disrespectful.
Dude. What?
It's so disrespectful. There's a reason why we don't see 10 touchdowns in a game. It's because usually when the blowout occurs and you're up to like 7, starter gets yanked. Like Presbyterian head coach
said, they must not have liked St. Andrews. St. Andrews must have been doing something to him. I don't know what could get you to draw the wrath of having a guy throw for 10 touchdowns. What could you do, Joe?
That's pretty nuts.
Where do we go from here?
I don't know. It's kind of screwing things up for, you know, like what to expect the rest of the season. Like, I don't know. I don't want to look at next week's stat line. I don't know if we can pick another fat stat unless somebody throws for 11.
A ton of guys had great games this past week.
Yeah.
Tons of great offense and defense. Didn't even need to look.
Yeah, like Akil Glass, I think, threw for 6 or 7. Now, for those who are curious about Heffley, he was actually a quarterback at Michigan before he transferred to Presbyterian. So, good for Heffley. We're happy for him. Welcome to the FCS. More than a field day.
Clinic.
Yeah. Sean, you got anything for us before I wrap us up?
No!
Okay. All right.
I couldn't possibly think of something. I there's nothing. Let's do the preview show on Thursday.
Okay. All right. Have a good one, folks. Thanks for tuning in. Follow us at Joe DeLeon, at Sanderson Radio, at Believe Podcast. Subscribe, 5-star review. You know the drill. Talk to you later.
For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile, and the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time, there's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.